You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don McGrecka.
And welcome to the Friday edition of Game Misconduct, the deadline edition of Game Misconduct. Full disclosure, as Don LaGreca and Anthony Pusick dive into this show, it is 2:04 Eastern Time.
So that's right.
56 minutes away from the deadline. Usually takes us about 30 minutes to record this, so not everything may be done by the end, but you know the constraints we have with the Michael Kay Show at 3 o'clock Eastern Time, but we wanted to pop something on. So let's get to it, Anthony. The most recent deal, which is kind of confusing to me, is the Devils deal with the Montreal Canadiens. The Devils have their goaltender, Anthony.
They sure
do. They have their goaltender.
That's right. And the same save percentage as the other three that they have.
It's the soon-to-be 34-year-old Jake Allen for a third-round pick that will become a conditional, can turn into a second-round pick for games played. Now, he's not the answer to their goaltending situation.
No, he is not.
And even though they beat the St. Louis Blues last night, with 19 games remaining in the season, Anthony, this is not enough for them to be able to make the playoffs. Otherwise, they wouldn't have traded Tyler Toffoli to the Winnipeg Jets. So they're still selling pieces. So how does this make sense moving forward? The only thing I can think of, Anthony, is this. Montreal retains 50% of his salary. So next year, he's a $2 million goaltender on your cap hit. That's a backup goaltender to me. So I'm wondering,
about 1.9
position. What's that?
It's about 1. I think I saw it was about 1.9.
So does this position them to get Markstrom during the offseason? They get a legitimate backup in Jake Allen. Now they're set. Markstrom's your starter. You've got an affordable piece as the backup to Jake Allen who can play 20-some-odd games next year. And now you're set. It's not much of a cap hit. I'm wondering if this is kind of a deal to set up for him to be the backup for whoever the next goaltender is next season.
Yeah, well, look, Don, we talked about it, right? Unless you're the only way that it made sense for the Devils to trade for a goalie is if it was going to be a goalie that was going to be part of their future. Now, we talked about Jake Allen is not going to be their quote-unquote future per se, but he does have term. He does have another year. This is not a 2.5 month rental for a team that's most likely not making the playoffs and just traded Tyler Toffoli. They see value in keeping Jake Allen as a potential backup at $1.9 million next year, like you just said. That is not the end game. Obviously, there's been some tires being kicked around about Markstrom, but they can do that in the offseason if they so choose. It's confusing in the moment of when we think deadline, we think teams are either buying or selling to help themselves in the future or for now. Jake Allen's kind of in the middle. Does he even go past that 1 year as a backup at $1.9 million? I don't know, but it's certainly better than the situation the Devils are in this year where they've gone through three goalies. None of them are particularly good for any length of time. I'm not saying Jake Allen is a savior by any stretch of the imagination. His save percentage is around the same as the three guys, like I mentioned, that they've been trotting out there. But it is a veteran guy. You know, you can stick him in there at the end of the year here while the Devils play out the string. If he catches fire a little bit here, nice. Then you have a nice backup goalie for next season at a pretty reasonable term. But yeah, in terms of everything that's been going on today, that was one that I did not expect to happen.
No, kind of odd. So that, you know, that's come down here. You look at what Florida has done, and I think that's where you jump off at the Eastern Conference right now. With Florida and Carolina, the two teams that played in the conference final last year and what they've done over the last 24 hours. Now, am I going to tell you that Tarasenko and Oposo are going to help win the Florida the Cup? The depth is important. You remember what happened last year to this Florida Panther team? They literally ran out of bodies by the time they got to Vegas. They want to make sure they've got incredible depth. So is Kyle Oposo a great player anymore? No. But having depth is important. But Tarasenko is really interesting to me. I know it wasn't a great fit in New York last year, but this is a plus player in Ottawa. I think the last I checked, he had the second best plus minus on the Ottawa Senators. He can perform in the playoffs for them. He's not going to be relied upon to be a big-time scorer, but would you be shocked if he scored big-time goals for you?
No.
So for Florida to be able to add the way that they have to a team that's already the best team in the NHL, pretty significant depth moves for the Florida Panthers. I like what they did.
Yeah, no, I like what they did, and I'm actually been very impressed with what Carolina's done.
Yeah.
Obviously, the Jake Guentzel deal is big and affects one of the local teams here. I'm sure we'll get into them as well. But the amount that Carolina gave up, Michael Bunting, an NHL player, and then three prospects who I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I know the prospect pools all that well, but it didn't seem like anybody thought that it was an overpay by Carolina by any stretch of the imagination. They get to retain 25% of the salary was retained by Pittsburgh. That was huge. And then I think the surprising move, and I think a sneaky move for them, was getting Kuznetsov. A third round, and only giving up a third round pick.
Right.
50% of the salary is retained by Washington. I mean, if he catches any type of fire here, you talked about a Carolina team, Don. We've mentioned it. Like, yes, we like Aho. We like Teravainen. But then you look at the team and you go, I don't know. What else do they have? Now you have Jake Guentzel, and I know Evgeny Kuznetsov is at the moment a shell of himself, but if he's anything close to what he used to be, and on a third line for this team, this is a deep Carolina team. They could be the second best team in the East.
No, it's pretty incredible stuff what they were able to accomplish. And, you know, Guentzel, we know the kind of player that he is, straightforward player, exactly what they need offensively. And for them to be able to add Kuznetsov, he's out of recovery now. He's not that far removed from being a point-a-game player. So if he gives them anything, that is tremendous. Exactly what they needed. A little bit more offensive pop to help out Svechnikov, to help out Aho, to help out Natchez. What a tremendous couple of moves that they were able to make there in Carolina. So, you know, watch out. They're still kind of looming around the Rangers there. They've got a big matchup coming up on Tuesday. I'll be on the call for that. So the Rangers have not solidified that division at all. Their big move happened a few days ago with Wenberg. Nice move. Nice depth move. I think there's a few things that they can do there. They also picked up Chad Ruhwedel from Pittsburgh. Nice depth move. You need defensemen. I mean, you are an injury away from Zach Jones playing major minutes in the postseason. So
and Jacob Trouba's day-to-day.
Yeah, Jacob Trouba, exactly. So, and listen, no offense to Zach Jones. Zach Jones could also, within the next couple of hours, maybe be a piece that they can now move to maybe land somebody else. You're hearing about right now as we speak at 2:10 Eastern Time, Max Pacioretty is still out there. And does that move the needle? Local kid, he's played in big games. I wouldn't mind having him playing left wing on my fourth line. You know, so I still think there's some things the Rangers might be able to do. And give credit.
Don't sleep on the Nick Paton deal.
Well, listen, another depth move. He split time in the AHL and with Minnesota this year. Maybe does that mean something else is going to be happening here? Because you need to be able to dress guys in Hartford. So I don't know what Chris Drury is planning on doing over the next 50 plus minutes, but still something that can happen there. But give credit to Pittsburgh. Get something for Chad Ruhwedel, who's been a healthy scratch a lot this year, to be able to get what they got for Guentzel, knowing everybody in the world knew they were trading him. And they're still able to get a nice return. Good job by the Pittsburgh Penguins. Reading the writing on the wall, being able to get some tangible stuff back for a free agent that was going to walk at the end of the year, get something for Chad Ruhwedel that was a spare part for them. Good job out of the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Very interesting comments by Sidney Crosby when he was asked, you know, what do you make of this Guentzel deal? And what do you think management's saying? And he said, you'll have to ask them. It only adds to the fire of the rumors that we were kind of talking about yesterday, Don. I don't think a Sidney Crosby blockbuster happens within the next 48 minutes. But if he's not happy in Pittsburgh, and look, the thing that's confusing to me, and you said, Don, that they wanted to trade him, and I hear you and I understand that, but then why go out and get Erik Karlsson? Why keep Malkin there? Why keep Letang there? Like, I know that the season isn't going the way that they wanted to, but are they not trying to go for it this year? Do they see that this is not a team that's going to be able to make a push for the playoffs? And if that's the case, like, what's Crosby doing there? Because he's still playing at a very high level and could beneficial to a team that's on the way to a cup. Like, this looks like a teardown in Pittsburgh if this continues to go sideways.
Well, I mean, I give him credit. You know, Dubas is there. Some of these moves were not done by him. Karlsson was, I believe, but I think the extensions to Letang and Malkin were not. I'd have to double check on that. I don't believe they were Dubas deals, but the fact is that you see that it didn't work. I mean, they're really no better than they were last year.
Well, that's fair.
They're probably worse. So at some point, listen, as selfishly, and I'm not talking about this from the Ranger perspective, To see Sidney Crosby moved would be unbelievable for hockey. I mean, it would have to be the lead on every show. He is still one of the most recognizable faces in the sport, and for him to move, this would be as big as when Ray Bourque was dealt. Doesn't look like it's going to happen, but I kind of selfishly was hoping as a hockey fan and for attention that something like this would take place. I get that he's an institution in Pittsburgh, but he wants to win. Penguins are in a rebuild. Capitals were able to do it with Ovechkin, keep him and rebuild at the same time, but I mean, I guess Ovechkin's comfortable with that. Maybe he's comfortable just getting Gretzky's record. He's already won his cup. But I feel like Crosby wants to do more. But it doesn't look like it's going to happen in the next 45 minutes.
And look, maybe this is what makes you a professional and me a hack. I certainly wasn't blaming Dubas for the extensions. And maybe this was him saying, you know what, I'm going to go in there. I'm going to see what this roster can do this year. And if I have to pull the plug, I'm pulling the plug. And again, we have no idea. Like, Gensel's just the first piece here. Like, are more pieces going to be gone by the summer? Is this going to be kind of a teardown? And that is going to be conversations that Crosby's going to have with management. I know he loves it in Pittsburgh. And, of course, being a forever Penguin would probably be a dream, not just for him, but for Pittsburgh, just to have one of the best players in NHL history just stay on your team forever. But that is certainly something to keep an eye on.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
I'm trying to figure out what Philly's doing, Don. Obviously, they don't have their starting goaltender, and the goaltending market kind of has shriveled up without really even anything moving, which is very interesting. But they get Eric Johnson from the Sabres. They need D help because they have so many injuries on the D, with Drysdale out and Ristolainen out. They get Gurianov from the Predators and give Wade Allison back in return. Those are two deals that came on right before really we started recording. That just came after the Jake Allen deal with Jersey and Montreal. So, I think they're trying to just hold on here. I don't think that they think that they're going to be able to make any move that's going to push them higher. But I think they'd like to stay where they are in third, and the Islanders now breathing down their neck.
Right. I mean, I think that Philadelphia, when you spend that much time as a playoff team, then you want to kind of just see it through. I understand Hart being out certainly hurts and damages their chances, and they may end eventually get caught by the Islanders here, but then there's still a possibility of the wild card. Because I think you want to see it through, Anthony, and it's not like anything that they did really disturbs their future. They didn't give up anything like that tangible to me anyway. But you take a look at where they sit, still in third place. It feels like they've been there forever with 74 points. Islanders have 70, two games in hand. So let's say the Islanders catch them. They may very might with their five straight wins. Then Philadelphia drops to the wild card. So what happens there? Detroit is got 72 points. Tampa's got 72 points. So they've got 2 points ahead of them and the same amount of games played as Tampa. So see this through. I guess is the logic behind it, because I still think they might find themselves to be a playoff team, and I think that's still important to the Flyers as long as it doesn't damage the long-term health of the franchise. And I don't think any of these moves really did. And then we'll see how they have to deal with the goaltending situation. We'll find out what happens with Carter Hart.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a wait and see. I believe that there was a report out of Canada that this trial could take up till 2025. We had Gary Bettman on a couple weeks ago on the Michael Kay Show, and he said that I don't think until these proceedings go on that these guys are going to be available to play. So that's obviously a wait and see for them. But yeah, just to me, like, you know, Eric Johnson, Dennis Gurianov, these guys don't move the needle for me. Obviously, Philly needed a defenseman in Johnson, right. So that's good. That's not new. The way that Carolina improved themselves and Florida improved themselves moves the needle for me in terms of where
absolutely.
I think they sit.
Well, listen, some teams make moves to win the cup. Some teams make moves to just make the playoffs. I feel like Philadelphia is just making moves to stabilize things, make the playoffs for the first time in a long time. I think that's their objective. Carolina's trying to win a cup. Clearly, Florida is trying to win a cup. Clearly, Winnipeg is trying to win a cup. I like the Tyler Toffoli deal. I like what they were able to do there. The Oilers obviously didn't show any. Columbus has been a pain in the ass to play, by the way.
I know, right?
They seem like they'd be beating a lot of good teams, but to be able to get Adam Henrique the way they did. And how do you feel as a Ranger fan, Anthony, that you could have had both Vetrano and Henrique, according to reports, for Kako and a first-round pick?
This isn't going to make me very popular. But I'm going to try it anyway. I don't hate what Drury has not done here. If you take a look at what Jake Guentzel went for, and you'd have to assume that the Rangers would have to give out something similar. Vince Mercogliano kind of did the math on this on his own last night. A Michael Bunting type is probably Will Cooley or Kaapo Kakko in a deal. For Jake Guentzel, who you probably won't be re-signing. Let's just make that argument. If you want to resign Jake Guentzel, then we're having a different conversation. But with the money and Hedel coming off LTIR and a bunch of other things with no moves and no trades, the Rangers are not in a great cap situation. We all know that. The three prospects that they gave up, Kuvanen, Lucius, and Ponomarev, all three are less than Perreault or Othman. But as we've also heard, Drury is not keen on giving up either of those two guys. And then you have to give up a first-round pick. The picks, to me, are, as we've talked about on the K-Show, a bunch of air. That doesn't really matter to me. If it's Vetrano or Buchnevich for two first two, I don't know, Don. I'm not hating what's happening here because you know what I look at, and this is an honest assessment. And you know I'm very honest about the Rangers. I try not to be a fan as much on the podcast, and I try to be as objective as humanly possible. I look at the Rangers now as the third best team at best in the East. I think Florida was already better than them, and Tarasenko only helps that. And the addition of Jake Guentzel for a team that already gave the Rangers fits, despite the fact that the Rangers are higher than them in the Metro at the moment, I think Carolina is a team that you don't want to face in a seven-game series. No. And does Jake Guentzel or Vetrano or Buchnevich improve the Rangers to a point that they're not only better than those two teams, but you think they can make a legitimate cup run? I think that I've said this a bunch of times, we've said it. The Rangers could beat almost anybody on any given night. They could also lose to anybody on any given night. And I don't know if I'm going to mortgage pieces of my future, whether that be Kaapo Kakko, who if Drury believes he's going to be part of the future, you're mortgaging him for a guy who you think is going to try and make you go to the cup. Or a pick, or Othman, or Perreault, who you think are going to be in 2 years, by the way, Don. Panarin's contract's done. Shesty might be gone. No moves and no trades off of Trouba, Zibanejad, Kreider, a bunch of the big money contracts on the books here. Peter Laviolette was not brought in for a five-year rebuild. So it's kind of, Drury's kind of straddling the line here. Are you trying to win this year? Do you think you have a 2 to 3 year window? Because if you do, then you make these deals. But in this market where it is so volatile this year, we've said the Panthers are the best team. We've said the Canucks are the best team. We've had Winnipeg as the best team at one point. If it's going to be a gauntlet to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, do you mortgage the future? I say no, so I kind of like what Drury's doing. It's not going to be popular with the fans if they don't make another move, but I don't hate what they're doing.
It's just that Kakko's got to play well. You know,
yeah.
And I mentioned this on the K-Show yesterday. I didn't get a chance to ask you if you agreed with the analogy. I mean, you look at a guy like JT Miller. You know, they obviously gave up on Miller. Miller's now become a star in Vancouver via Tampa. And, you know, what if you trade Kakko away, especially to a divisional opponent like to Pittsburgh for Guentzel, or, you know, then you trade him for Vetrano and Henrique, and then both of those guys walk at the end of the year, and then Kakko becomes a star in Anaheim. I mean, that's the fear that you have. But you shouldn't be driven by fear. You should be driven on what you believe this player is going to be. And if they believe that Kakko is going to find it, the way kind of Lafreniere has found it this year, then it's obviously something to hold on to. But ultimately, the lack of a deal is going to be judged. All right, what does Kaapo Kakko give you? If he gets hurt again, if he gives you nothing in the postseason, Rangers get bounced in the first round, and Kakko never develops into anything, and then you'll wonder. You know, and if Edmonton's playing in the Stanley Cup final with Henrique scoring big goals for them, like he did for the Devils 12 years ago, it's not going to look good. But if Kakko does find it, then I think that's important.
Well, it was the choice, right, Don? At the time, if my memory serves, it was the choice between Kevin Hayes or JT Miller. Which guy are you going to keep and which guy are you going to pay? They ended up sticking with Hayes. Then they ended up moving on from Hayes anyway. So those two both ended up they ended up moving on from. And it turns out that Miller had the better career. And if you've heard JT Miller at many times, he said that leaving the Rangers was the best thing to happen to him because he needed that wake-up call. And it wasn't clicking in New York. Maybe it would have. Who knows? They changed coaches in the time that he was gone as well. But he really has found himself and has proven to be one of the most effective forwards on one of the best offensive teams in hockey. Could there be buyer's remorse? Absolutely. If Kaapo Kakko becomes a 40-goal scorer in Anaheim and they had traded him for Vetrano in a first, that's frustrating. I think that the Rangers are in a good position because all of Vetrano's money has to be taken because they cannot retain any more salary. Anaheim can't. And that should, in my mind, lower the price. Now, the closer we get to the deadline, the less likely that it is that the price is going to go down. It's not. Vetrano apparently seems very happy in Anaheim, and the Ducks are okay to keep him. So, if you're feeling that way, going to be a little tough to say let's drive this price down here. Do I want to give up Kaapo Kakko for Frank Vetrano? Not really. It's swapping out who is at currently right wing one for right wing one. With either Rempe or Enstrom fitting in with Wennberg on the third or fourth line. And again, I don't know how close it makes you to Florida or to Carolina after what they've done. Does that mean you don't go for it? No, of course not. Does this mean that I think the Rangers, as currently constituted, can't beat Florida and Carolina? No. Carolina, I think they could. Florida, I'm not so sure. And that was even when they were playing good. They've lost to them twice. Minor move, Andrew Peak to the Boston Bruins, and the Columbus Blue Jackets get back Jacob Zboril, so everybody get excited about that one.
No, but I like him. I think that's a nice move as well for Boston.
What about Pat Maroon? What do you think of that?
They've
kind of solidified what they needed to do, which is get some bottom six help.
And he'll help. You know, the guy's got, up until last year, was just attached to the Stanley Cup Final, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So I guess there's nothing wrong with that, but again, is it a major needle mover? You know, probably not, but it's still a nice little piece for a team that that believes they can still win the Stanley Cup. So
exactly.
These are like maintenance deals, but you never ever know.
Don, do you think not making one of these moves on Drury's end is an indication that he doesn't see this team as a cup team at the moment? Or do you see it as the asking prices are too high for a team that I know could win, but I can't mortgage my future to go all in this year?
Well, everybody's in a little bit of a different spot, right? Now I look at Florida and I say, that's a team that can win the Stanley Cup. That's a favorite to win the Stanley Cup. Be all in this year. You went to the final last year. You're on your way to winning the President's Trophy. You must honor this. I don't put the Rangers in that category.
I agree.
I put the Rangers in kind of like a Carolina category where, you know, you've been banging on the door for the last few years, but it's not like it has to happen this year, right? That are you that close that you can really be all in the way Florida is, the way Boston could be, where you've got some guys that are a little long in the tooth. You want to just see if you can take advantage of what's happening right now. Or Florida that just believes that they are right at the precipice of doing this. I think the Rangers can win, just the way Carolina can win. But do I put them in a situation where it has to be all about this year? Or can I see myself that if I'm smart, make the right moves, don't really damage the future, that we could be in the same situation next year still with a chance to win and maybe be even a little bit better if you can kind of create some cap space during the offseason, if Lafreniere continues to grow, if Kakko continues to grow. Their blue line is still relatively young. You've still got a very young goaltender. He's got another year left on his contract. So I do not look at the Rangers as a team that's as close as Florida to where you've got to damage the future, but still a team that can do it.
Yeah, again, I really struggle with this. It's not going to be, again, if you leave with it on the K-Show, it's not a popular opinion. I don't see Drury not going out and getting another piece as a problem, depending on and taking a look at what was offered for Guentzel, what was accepted for Guentzel, what looks to be out there for a guy like Vetrano, Buchnevich, two first-round picks. I'm sorry. I like the guy. Well, see, I like Captain Happy, but it's just not.
That's
two
smart.
Firsts is not it for me.
But doesn't that tell you everything that you need to know? If
you would
they
think.
Felt like they were Florida, then you make
correct.
You make the Guentzel deal. You make the Duck deal. You go out and get two first-round picks for Buchnevich. But they don't want to damage the future. So that tells you that, hey, we signed Peter Laviolette to a three-year contract. We believe we have a three-year window to win. This is year one of that window. I don't want to damage years two and three. I think I've got a good enough team. I think if things break the right way, we can make it. If there's a deal to make that can improve us, absolutely. But not at the expense of our future.
I agree.
I don't have a problem with that either.
No, I don't. I like Perreault, I like Othman. I think it's nice to stick to your guns on that. And by the way, at the end of that three-year window, whether it be year two or year three, you could see one of those guys on the team. Othman's cracked the lineup this year, mainly due to injury, of course, but he certainly looked like he belongs. He could skate. You know, the offense has to come, and his innate ability at this level, because players are bigger and faster. But Perreault looks like he's tearing it up down in Boston. He's been very impressive, breaking all rookie college records. Those are guys you don't want to pass up on for a chance, again, as you've pointed out, Don, a chance to possibly get bounced in the second round by the Carolina Hurricanes or in the Eastern Conference Final by Florida. And it's not like the West is easy. If you make it to the Cup Final, there's no great shake that you're going to make it out of there unscathed, depending on who you face.
That's true. All right, so we got limited time.
I know.
I'm cool with scrapping the top five.
We can't do it. I don't know what these teams are.
Let's stick with the plan here. At right now, 2:28, so 32 minutes until the deadline is over. Quick couple of things before we get out of Dodge here. We both kind of were lukewarm on Vegas. Does Mantha and Hanifin change that for you?
I like Mantha.
I do too.
I didn't see the need for another defenseman, but Vegas certainly did. I don't hate it. For a team that was struggling, it was nice to see a level of desperation from them, which is kind of something we've seen from the deadline, quite frankly, since they've been in the league. If they see a way to put guys on LTIR and improve their team and get into the playoffs, they'll do it. That's why, Don, I know that breathing down their neck is the Kings. It would really scare me if I was a West team to face them and they fell down to the wild card, because this is a team that we know when it comes playoff time, some magic happens out there in Vegas. That could be really scary. Especially if they get Stone back. Eichel's back now. Mantha provides the scoring that you don't have with Stone. Hanifin is already, you know, helping what I thought was a pretty deep decor as it was, even with the injuries that they were dealing with. I'm still nervous about Vegas. I'm curious to see what these additions do for them. But good for them. And quite frankly, I've liked what Dallas has done. Getting Tanev was huge. I was never worried about them. But for you to have a pick of Carolina Dallas as your Cup final, that's looking more and more like a possibility.
Getting a report here that the Rangers have assigned Enstrom to Hartford.
Yeah, he seemed to be the odd man out, right?
It had to be, right? Because you're adding Wennberg to the mix here, and then you know you have other options. It just seemed like that's where it was going
to
go.
And they seem to love Rempe's ability to be that powerful force on the fourth line, for better or for worse, depending on who you ask.
So, and then we'll see if they do end up getting Pacioretty. And at last glance, Larry Brooks was mentioning about that being a possibility.
That one doesn't do any. That doesn't move the needle for me either.
Listen, here's the thing. It's just trying to catch lightning in a bottle, right? He's far removed from whatever he was. He's coming off an Achilles. He's bouncing around.
Yeah, that's worked well in New York.
You know, he's a local kid. Do you feel let me ask you this. Do you feel, if you have a fourth line with Pacioretty on it, so say it's a Brodzinski, Pacioretty, and Rempe.
That's a heck of a line.
I mean, it's better than what it is now. I mean, I'd rather have Pacioretty than Enstrom. No offense to Enstrom.
Yes, I agree with that.
Pacioretty's got a little bit more pop. I think he can, you know, Brodzinski can bring a lot out of him, you know, and then, you know, and go from there. So, listen, there's a lot of moving parts here, and again, we were recording this at 2:30. We do see deals after 3. You've got to get it into the league by 3 o'clock.
Keep an ear on the K-Show. We've got you covered.
Yeah,
don't worry.
We're going to be on top of it as well. So, but we wanted to get something up on the pod, at least talk about some of the deals that had taken place and kind of sink our teeth into that. It's been active. It's been a very busy week. I don't think we've missed any of the bigger deals over the last couple of days since we were on our last podcast on Wednesday.
Fred seemed to be going for it, as we said. Jason Zucker's a nice addition for them. Gives them some depth, another scorer. You know, good on them to win 8 straight or whatever it was that they won to be able to be in this position. Anthony Beauvillier, Barry Trotz goes back to the Islanders. Well, gets him for a 5th round pick. He's obviously been a goal scorer in his career. So Nashville is tooling up to try and do something here in these one of these wild card spots.
And
so good
not?
For them.
And why not? Who, as we said, we talked about with EJ on Wednesday, Anthony, that, you know, I don't like Nashville's matchup with Vancouver, but the way Vancouver's played as of late with not a lot of recent playoff history, would it be that shocking to see the Canucks lose in the first round? I wouldn't bet on it, but would you be that floored if it were to happen? And maybe Soros gets hot or something. So, well, there's where we're at. We're signing off at 2:32 Eastern time, so that's where we're at as of right now. We'll be back with you again on Monday. Hopefully we'll have EJ recap everything that has happened, and we'll be able to move forward. So I'm looking forward to it, Anthony.
Let's see what happens here, Don. 28 minutes.
All right. We will talk to you again on Monday. This was the Friday edition of Game Misconduct.
This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.